Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott. Rex Ryan will be joining us a little later. Let's start with the Sunday night matchup, the Buffalo Bills going to Arrowhead to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. And man, did they take care of business as they win 38-20. Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs turned the ball over four times, and Buffalo plays a pretty clean game. New to the rivalry is what the Kansas City Chiefs have been trying to do, bringing in Josh Gordon to try and help out opposite after losing Sammy Watkins, trying to replace him. But man, the Buffalo Bills took Tampa Bay Buccaneers blueprint of how to give Mahomes problems by playing cover two. Also, some new guys to the rivalry, Boogie Basham and Rousseau, giving a lot of depth to that defensive line of the Buffalo Bills as they've created, you know, chaos all day long for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. As you see, teams are now starting to play that cover two, not giving out any deep plays, making Mahomes and the defense play patient, and they weren't able to get it done. And then you talk about the long delay from the weather. It seems like Buffalo came out and they continued to pick up right where they left off. I mean, you have to tip your hat to Leslie Frazier and McDermott for their game plan, but also Josh Allen. And, you know, I didn't think the offense played very well at the beginning. I thought they left some plays out there, you know, but this is a team to beat. And I think they're confident now. This is more important for the Buffalo Bills than it was for the Kansas City Chiefs. And now if they have to, you know, if they see each other in the postseason, now it'll probably go through Buffalo. As you know, they talked about it early in the show. If they would have won the matchup last year, then that playoff game would have been in Buffalo. You talk about the inclement weather, not in Kansas City's like down south or sunny sunshine and rainbows. But man, you talk about, you know, Buffalo and what the advantage would be if teams had to come and go through Buffalo to go through the postseason. It'd be amazing. I tell you what, Josh Allen did disappoint. Cleveland going down today, even though we know that they can run the ball. You talk about maybe the Los Angeles Chargers. But it seems like this AFC is wide open. And for the first time in a long time, it looks like Kansas City is going to be a vulnerable team. They have a lot of flaws. I understand that Chris Jones wasn't there. But that defense has just been getting shredded all year. It's going to be the Achilles heel for them as they try and work Josh Gordon in. I just believe that right now, no quarterback in the AFC is playing better than Josh Allen. His ability to hurt you with his legs, but also with his arm. You talk about Emmanuel Sanders and just giving a little bit more depth so you can't just take digs away. And, man, who thought that this guy Knox, their tight end, you know, has five touchdowns, but it seems like Josh Allen just throws the ball up for him, 50-50 balls, and he wins. You know, so, you know, long story short, looks to me that the Buffalo Bills may be the team to beat in the AFC. I know this thing changes from week to week, but listen, we said that they didn't beat anybody because they beat up on the Houstons of the world. They played two backup quarterbacks. But this was Patrick Mahomes in prime time TV, game of the week, and they came out and they beat the champs or the AFC champs up. And, you know, that can't be dismissed. So I'll tell you what, Rex Ryan will be joining us a little later. I mean, I'm excited about the show. Tune in. Let's get it started. Organized Chaos, Week 5.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. No need for introductions and exchange of pleasantries. Rex, Week 5, what do you got for us?
Man, can anybody kick? That's what I got for you. That was absolutely brutal in some of these games, man. And if we're going to talk about those 1 o'clock games, Bart, I mean, Mason Crosby is the hero of the game. Oh, you know what? No, you're not, Mason Crosby. If you miss three kicks, three game winners, you're not the hero. And Evan McPherson, the kicker for the Cincinnati Bengals. By the way, if you hit the flag and it's outside the post, that's not good. You don't win anything for that thing. So he pulls the old bonehead thing about he's celebrating a missed kick.
But the crazy thing is, Rex, like maybe like he's been watching too much of the real football players and know if they touch the pylon with the ball, that's all they have to do and it counts. That's not the same for an extra point or a field goal. You talk about Crosby, you talk about five missed kicks within the game. I was concerned that was going to maybe be a tie. But I tell you what, you know, sensationally talking about, we all know about Devontae Adams. But you talk about Jamar Chase and what he's been able to do after having a drop season, the preseason, all he's doing is looking like maybe the offensive player of the year.
Yeah, and you know what? I remember when he came out and he torched Clemson in that national championship game. I'm like, oh my God. Like, and I wasn't following college football the way most people do, but then I had a chance to watch the kid and I'm like, this is the best receiver I've seen come out of college football. And I never saw Jerry Rice come out or whatever. I'm just telling you. And then he has the dropsies early or something like that. Well, and he did have some drops in this game, but my gosh, is he an explosive talent? And the scary thing is a lot of times these kids come out and their rookie year is not so great. I mean, Jerry Rice was the backup, but this kid is only going to get better. And here's the thing, you know, we're ripping these kickers, but it spoiled a heck of a football game. And Joe Burrow and company slugging it out toe-to-toe with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. But this Jamar Chase, you know, he had that matchup against, you know, Devontae Adams. Okay, Devontae Adams, maybe you say he won it, but my goodness, this kid is closing the gap.
I mean, he's putting the league on notice, man. That was amazing. And how about Zach Taylor, man? We really don't usually talk about the Cincinnati Bengals in great light. But you look at what this offense is and what Joe Burrow is, like, if they get a couple more players and they're able to attract some free agents, you know, this can be the Carson Palmer type of Bengals that has, you know, had Who's Your Mama, had Chad, and had Chris Henry as well. Like, you know, and I forget, what's his name, Rudy? I forgot somebody named Rudy they had at tailback. Like, this is a nice little 1-2 punch, man. But I tell you what, they can hang their hat. They should be proud of themselves. You know what I mean? They did a great job. And listen, I think their team on the come up. I think, you know, Rudy Johnson, you know, they're a great team on the come up, man. And they're going to be fun to watch within that division. But I think it's clear to me that Joe Burrow is the number two quarterback within that division. Not Baker Mayfield, definitely not Ben Roethlisberger. Right now, I think he's playing and he's already proven in a short season that he's the number two quarterback within that division, man.
Absolutely. Behind Lamar Jackson, but they're different quarterbacks. Be interesting if you had a draft, who would be taken first, Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow. But Joe Burrow is a perfect fit for Cincinnati. You got a local kid like that. It's freaking awesome that they took him. And you know what? There wouldn't be a single fan in the stadium had the Bengals passed on Joe Burrow. Even though Justin Herbert's probably a better quarterback, Joe Burrow was perfect for the Bengals. Local kid. We get it. Easy to cheer for. And he's a hell of a football player. But Zach Taylor, we mentioned him. I thought last year he was damn reckless in the way he used Joe Burrow. This year they've been better about running the football, mixing in Joe Mixon, you know, and then the P-Ron kid, you know. But to me, that's how you protect the quarterback. But I'll be dang if they don't run quarterback draw on a fourth down play. I'm like, or a third and whatever. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
This player is a hell of a lot more important than a first down. And he had already been almost looked like he was knocked out in a previous scramble. So Zach Taylor, protect the dang quarterback at all costs, please. And yes, Bart, I agree with you. He's doing a nice job with this football team, but please, for the love of God and love of the NFL fans, people that love the game, let's protect our quarterback, please.
Yeah, man, too many quarterbacks, man, trying to be Tom Brady, who's undefeated in the quarterback sneak. He has a knack for it. You look at Derek Carr, he went night-night for a while. Then you look at Danny Dimes, he gets up looking like Jab Judah in one of his early fights when he had he looked like Deontay Wilder, you know, stumbling and bumbling, man. They had to get him out of there. So, you know, some of these quarterbacks got to understand you got to live the fight another day. You know, speaking of the great one again, you know, I always thought that South Beach was undefeated, right? Because he's the only team he has a losing record against is Miami, because we know it's more about the festivities at South Beach than it is about actually playing the team. But, you know, today they were in a tight one for a little bit, and then they just exploded, erupted. And this connection with Antonio Brown, no matter what they have, like his nonverbal communication with AB is ridiculous. Even though Mike Evans is a better receiver, Godwin may be, you know, up there with him. But even at the advanced age, man, the ability of AB just to stretch the field and make big plays and be in sync with Tom Brady is just something amazing to watch.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know what? Let's talk about that South Beach thing, okay? Let's give a little insight here. All right, the true thing about the Dolphins. Remember when we were with the Jets, I sat back, and this is only because in Baltimore, I saw firsthand that, you know what? Our guys, not all of our guys are focused on the game, so to speak.
A lot of swiping right.
Remember what we used to do with the Jets? I'm like, and I'm just telling the fans this, because this is what you get on Organized Chaos. It's not just about the games, man. I'm going to tell you the truth. We're going to give you some inside stories. So we would go down to South Beach, and I remember I'm like, look, guys, we win this game, we're going to have victory Monday. But we're going to have two planes coming back. One plane comes back with the team, okay? And me, by the way, as a head coach, I'm going to be on plane. Okay,
Ray Go Urban.
Not everybody.
Hit that, Urban Meyer.
But the other plane, we were going to hold back, say, look, guys, you don't have to be back till Wednesday. If you want to stay here in South Beach, you make sure you take care of each other. Always, you know, you're around each other and all that. But we will have another plane that you can come back on right there. But the main thing is, all I'm asking you to do is focus. We don't leave the hotel and all that. And everybody's like, yeah. Remember? It's like, yeah, we'll do that, Rex. That's great. Okay, absolutely. Thank you, you know, so much and all that. And after we beat him, what happened? Nobody took the second plane home. Everybody wanted to celebrate on the way back. But yeah, that's what happens. That's the hidden NFL. And those things actually happen in this league. And yes, you would think that the focus is always there, but sometimes it ain't exactly there.
You go there, like, man, where all these girls come from in this lobby? Like, this is far beyond. This is before Tinder and swiping right, man. That's why South Beach is undefeated, man. There's a lot of distractions down there. First thing guys do is get out of Dodge and go to the Holy Moly real early. Like, bro, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. How the hell are you going to the strip club? Like, stop it, man. You got to be back for curfew. Then we come back for meetings. They got an hour and a half before they go back, man. So listen, that's why I'm not saying Tom Brady. I'm just saying his Patriots teams, you know, when went down there, that's why they probably had a losing record. But it looks like Tom Brady got back on track and everybody's doing well, man.
Five touchdowns, man.
Yeah, five
touchdowns. Are you kidding me? Two to Evans, two to AB, and you're right. When this team's focused, as long as I saw there was no torrential rain out there, Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady, and he certainly was today.
I mean, you got Evans and AB both over 100 yards receiving. As it looks like this Miami team is really losing traction really early. I mean, trying to battle with Jacoby Brissett, and he's doing the best he can, but he's injured as well. And I don't know, man. I don't know when Tua comes back and if Tua makes him a good enough team to be relevant. No Devontae Parker. It's going to be crazy, man. But, you know, speaking of crazy, I mean, I don't know if we got to sage the Lions or we got to go out and we got to have somebody to come. They got an omen or something going on, man. But, you know, once again, they do everything they supposed to do. And Kirk Cousins of all people, we should have known that it was going to happen because it wasn't a primetime game. It was a 1 o'clock game. You can always count on Kirk Cousins in a non-1 o'clock game to figure it out, to get her done. Once again, you talk about having your heart ripped out of your chest, Rex. I mean, I know Little Legacy down there is going crazy like that. Yep. I don't know what the hell is going on, man. We just can't catch a break. Kirk Cousins marches down the field after going ahead late, 2-point conversion, everything, only to lose to a
37 seconds left. And they hit a 54-yard field goal like as time expires. And you're right. And, you know, this football team, though, and they know, look, everybody knows this team is rebuilding. Okay, they said that for the last 20 years, whatever. But it literally is rebuilding. They got two first-round picks the next two seasons. But this football team, they're without their corners. They're without their best pass rusher. The offensive line's decimated. They'd have no receivers. And you know what's funny? They play their butts off. And I thought Kirk Cousins was going to kill it. You know, when you're looking at fantasy guys, I'm like, how does he not light this team up for about five touchdown passes, 400 yards passing? Well, he didn't. And, you know, but you're right. And this may end up being a blessing in disguise, but that Detroit Lions, they work too damn hard not to get wins. But they're not going to be favored in a single game this year, okay? But they're going to compete in every single game. I think that's what we've seen from this football team and this coaching staff.
But I tell you what, I say about that, though. You talk about they have two first-round draft picks. I mean, if they are picking first or second in a draft, how do you not take a quarterback with the first overall pick. And what does that mean for Jared Goff? Do you go and use one of those early picks, get a young quarterback and let him sit behind Goff and let him develop maybe for a couple of years, and then tell Goff, much like Jimmy G, it's time for him to go. So now you can be cheap again and reset the salary cap.
Yeah, only if you see a guy that really is a franchise type quarterback moving forward. And let's face it, you got the whole rest of the season to evaluate if Jared Goff is the guy moving forward. I mean, look, this kid was the first overall pick. He did lead a team to a Super Bowl. And it's weird. He's just hot and cold. Some halves you think, man, this Jared Goff's pretty dang good. And then the next half in the game, he's awful. So, like, that's what they gotta figure out, man.
Yeah, but at this point, don't we know who he is, though? At this point, it's not like he's a young player anymore. This is a player, much like Carson Wentz, we kind of know what he is. He's a guy that's going to be hot and cold. He's a guy that's always going to be, right? We always talk about how Kirk Cousins is, if you're above Kirk Cousins, you're good. You're good to great.
Right.
You're below Kirk Cousins, you're average to horrible, right? He's usually the line of, I don't know if I always use the wrong word, demarcation. Like, you know, if you're behind him, then you're pretty bad and you're in the second half. I just don't know. How do you not do that? I mean, I root for the Lions because, you know, of course, it's my hometown.
Yeah, and I root for him too because I got my son there and a bunch of friends. But I'm looking at it this way. Look, this guy, you know, what else is out there? Like, I saw that Spencer Rattler get benched from OU. He's supposed to be, he's going to be a top 10 pick. What? I go, number one, you want to see a guy that it's impossible to like? It's Spencer Rattler. Anybody saw that show QB1? I'm like, oh my God, he's going to lead a group of men? I don't think so. So to me, we know that ain't the dang guy. Draft another offensive lineman. I don't care. Don't take that damn guy. But either way, we'll see. They got the rest of the year to figure it out. But, you know, kudos to them. They're playing their butts off. And, you know, you're right. One of these days, man, as hard as they're playing, they deserve a win.
I tell you what, man, talk about deserving a win. I pushed all my chips in the middle of the table once, you know, the Panthers made the trade for Stephon Gilmore, thinking that, hey, once they get J.C. Horn back, C.J. Henderson, you know, but once again, you know, the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. Sam Darnold, 3 interceptions today.
Cool.
You know, you think about Jalen Hurts, you know, they're scrapping in the NFC East where it looks like, okay, the Giants are going to be banged up. Who knows when they're going to get Saquon Barkley back. You know, but Jalen Hurts went out and he took care of business. I mean, they rallied back from a deficit only to win the game. And that's all you can do. You don't apologize for losses, but I still think this Carolina team is a good team. I don't know. Was it more about the Eagles and their resolve, or was it just, you know, the fact that Sam Darnold threw 3 interceptions and he lost the game for his team?
Yeah, it was a Sam Darnold factor, in my opinion. And it's amazing how being here in New York, people alibi for this dude, like, I don't know what it is. Like, this guy's the greatest thing since sliced bread. He was horrible for the Jets, and he's not very good now. You know, so to me, this is who he is, okay? I think the first few opponents we saw him, he was running, he was doing that. All right, that's great. But this guy, you talk about Jared Goff. At least Goff went to a Super Bowl. This guy, is he ever going to win a playoff game? I don't know. But here's the other deal. When they get J.C. Horn back and Stephon Gilmore, their defense has no excuses. Yeah. All right. They were playing well early in this game, but a block punt, that's what turned the tide in this game. So, because the Eagles were getting so outplayed, and yet they kept, as you said, that resolve of them. Maybe that's what it was, but give them the credit. They hung in there. Jalen Hurts, man. I mean, you saw the play when they got the safety against them. And I mean, it was brutal, but they hung in and they did just enough to get the victory. And you know what? These teams like the Raiders, Carolina, when everybody's like, oh my God, they're really good. They're great. Nah. You got to walk, you got to crawl before you walk. And that's what it is. They got off, man. Everybody's thinking, jumping on that bandwagon. Yeah. We'll see if people stay on that thing or not.
Thinking about bandwagon. Like I've been saying this and people call me the biggest Patriots hater out of them all. Right. And I said, listen, this is not a playoff team. Like, this is not a playoff team to me, thinking about, you know, you think about the AFC West, right? You think about, you know, Kansas City, Denver, who came back to earth a little bit this week, Kansas City out there. You got the Chargers who won a big one. You got the Cleveland Browns. You got the Ravens. you know, you got Tennessee. I think if Indianapolis kind of gets healthy a little bit, they'll be there at the end because they're the most complete team. Because I don't know what about this Tennessee defense. I mean, this defense is horrible. Vrabel ought to be ashamed of itself. The fact that he can't get these guys to be able to play defense since he's been there. But listen, they're in a weak division, so they got King Henry. They got enough weapons to win, but I just don't know if they're the threat in the playoffs in the postseason that we once thought they were. But this Patriot team, to me, is not a playoff team, man.
Hell no.
I mean, you talk about being in a dogfight with the Houston Texans, and I wonder, if they don't make the playoffs this year, what does that say about the program that Bill Belichick has over there? Because $300 million spent is $300 million spent. When you spend $300 million in future contracts, then that usually comes with a mandate to make it to the postseason, especially when the postseason has been extended. Yeah, I know Mac Jones, 77% completion rate. But listen, that's like check down Charlie, man. That's death by a thousand paper cuts.
That dude right there, that like you need to gas up the BB gun. This is Danny Werfel, not Tom Brady. Everybody wants to make him Tom Brady. He's not. He's Danny Werfel. He doesn't have the big league arm. He's smart. Absolutely. Josh McDaniels doing a great job. 77% completion rate. Josh McDaniels, man, he ought to get a head coaching job again because of it. But quite honestly, this dude can't push the ball down the field. And they're going to find that out when the weather gets cold and they start playing better competition. All right. We see it. I mean, this kid, it's a pea shooter, man. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. And they're not going to make the playoffs. This team, no chance that this team makes the playoffs.
So that's what I'm saying. So they it seemed to me like they pushed their chips in the middle because now you went and took him in the first round, the first time that Bill Belichick's taken a first round draft pick. And since I can remember, of course, he had Tom Brady, no need to. So now, like, sometimes you won't be able to figure out if he can play or if he's good enough to win playoff games for 4 or 5 years. What does that mean about the Patriots? Like, Patriots are welcome back to the pack. I think the Patriots, for the first time, understand what it feels like to be within that division. They know what it feels like to not have Jim Kelly. You know, they know what it feels like now not to have Dan Marino. And now they're just to the pack. So now, with all things being equal, I think we're really going to be able to try and figure out what Bill Belichick football acumen is. Because if you can't make it to the postseason, then it says that it was all about Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. And let's face it. They, I mean, they were a really good football team, but Tom Brady made them exceptional. And that's what we're seeing in Tampa. He took a team that was 7-9, took them to a Super Bowl. So we're seeing that. But look, here's the thing that surprised me. Were you shocked that they let Stephon Gilmore go for a 6-round pick after putting in all that money they did in free agency? And so, like, to me, that was weird. Like, if you're going to put all that money into free agency and think, hey, we're going to do it to make the playoffs, you're going to let Stephon Gilmore go? I was confused by that.
But you know what? I did that because they listen, no organization has ever disrespected their stars more than the Patriots. They did it to Richard Seymour. They did it to Ty Law. They did it to Lawyer Malloy. They did it to Asante Samuels. They do it to all their great players because they think it's about themselves. But it was always able to be about them and their coaching acumen as long as they had 12 on the sideline. Yep. Now you can't let all pro players just walk away for nothing. And listen, Stephon Gilmore saying, hey, I just wanted Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago. You're trying to tell me you're going to spend all this money on these bums. I'm better than Judon. I'm better than Hunter Henry. I'm more dominant of a player than Hunter Henry. Jono Smith, you know, Nelson Agholor, all the money that you spent, you telling me you want me to take a pay cut? No. Like, what are you talking about? I'm making $7 million this year. It's so many corners that make way more money than me, and I don't think he's really hurt. We're going to see how fast he runs and how quickly he plays for Carolina because we know once those 6 weeks are up for the pup list, I think he was healthy. It was just all about the negotiations. They didn't want him to go out there and get injured and have to pay him his money. And this is how arrogant they are. They're telling themselves, okay, we can go get Jamie Collins because Matt Patricia paid him in Detroit, and he can be our pass rusher that opposite Judon because Chase Winovich isn't great, right? So we can blitz with him. We can put him in the box. We can put him on the edge because Hightower has slowed down, and we can have a great secondary because we're going to have a better pass rush. Wrong. You need both of them. And they let great players walk out, and those are pivotal players. So, God, listen, you talk about the Houston Texans and Davis Mills pushing the ball all over the football field against them. So, listen, I think that's a sign of things to come. When they play against Cleveland, when they play against a team that when they get to the meeting of their schedule, I think they're going to get embarrassed. And I think Bill Belichick, you talk about Daniels getting a head coaching job. I think Bill Belichick, if he's smart, goes up to the upper room and goes up to be just a general manager. That way he can blame it all on him. He said he was going to give him his world. He didn't say it wasn't going to be on fire.
Yeah, but I'll say this: he's not going to go anywhere until he gets that victory record. You know, Shula's most win record. I don't believe. I think he's going to he'll walk away after that happens. And as much money as he's making, reportedly over $20 million a year, I don't blame him one bit. But shoot, you know, hey, how about the Steelers, man? They're up 24-6 in the fourth quarter. After I was saying that
try to bury them.
I was burying them. We were both burying them, but they hang on and win that game 27-19. You know, and Najee Harris goes off, has over 100 yards. By the way,
Vic Fangio,
don't worry about all that. Yeah, you know, where was that defense that gave up 100 yards to Najee Harris? Never had to worry about them going for it on a kneel-down situation. So.
And you know what's crazy, Rex? Like, we didn't really talk about it, you know, last week but, you know, we were there with Vic Fangio when he was there as a consultant and the whole thing with Harbaugh going back and forth. I thought it was funny, you know what I mean? But, you know, I just didn't think that Vic Fangio had – you know, Vic Fangio coming out and saying that's what they do over there. You know, I've always thought the Ravens was one of the most proud, respectable organizations. They don't rub it in. They might talk some trash, but they back it up. Vic Fangio saying that's what those guys do over there. That was weird to me. That was odd, especially since he's been in those walls and it's never been any conversations about us like rubbing it in people's faces. Yeah. But you talk about, you know, the back and forth. I love
he
it.
He ain't a Raven, Bart. That dude ain't a Raven. I mean, we can say what we want. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's all it is, man. He was a Texan, cold, whatever the hell he was, but he wasn't a Raven. And you know what? It was funny to me because Harbs was he took the high road right there. That guy was calling timeouts and all that stuff, trying to score meaningless touchdowns. So, you know, it is what it is. He gave up 100 yards, so be it. But I know, Bart, we got to take a break, but we're going to be back, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to discuss all the 4 p.m. games. A lot to discuss with that one, man. As in the Giants and Dallas game, I thought it was an episode of MASH.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan, a.k.a. Sexy Rexy. I tell you what, man, this was dubbed as the class of the Titans. You talk about the Chargers and you talk about the Browns, Baker Mayfield. I've been on them all week saying nobody does less with more. I tell you what, man, they did not disappoint. You talk about 47-42 as the Chargers edge them out. I'm telling you what, man, if I'm on that Brown sideline, I'm looking at Justin Herbert and saying that's what a franchise quarterback looks like.
Amen, 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 amen. And then look at as good as it was. Look, the Browns killed them running the football. They did all that type of stuff, and it was a great game, back and forth game. But, yeah, if you're going to – I mean, please, you want to see a franchise quarterback, you saw one on the other side. If there's a minute 30 left – like they had to score, by the way, the greatest play I've ever seen by a defensive unit, letting a team score, carrying the guy in the end zone. And they gave themselves a chance, man. They're going to win the game. They just need a touchdown and an extra point, and the game's over. But when you have Baker Mayfield as your quarterback, I'm like, they ain't going to get it done. They're not going to get it done. If you would have had Justin Herbert, 100% you'd say it got done. Aaron Rodgers, 100% you think it gets done. Tom Brady, absolutely going to get done. But when you have Baker Mayfield, I had no confidence that it was going to get done. So, and look, the play calling was worse. One Baker's fault, they were doing check down Charlie situation there. I couldn't understand it. It was absolutely stupid. And by the way, you have Odell Beckham. Shouldn't it be in that kind of moment where he shows up? I don't think you attempted a ball to him in that situation. So to me, that was really weird, but one of the best games I've seen in years. And it just is amazing that, you know, now I will say this, you know, when that game turned, right, Bart? When did you think that game turned? I'll tell you when I thought it turned. Is there anything that stood out to you? Because it stood out to me.
I miss it, man. You got to fill me in.
I got to fill you in on this one. All right. The Chargers are in their own 20-some yard line, maybe 26, 27 yard line.
Yeah.
They're facing a fourth and you know, six, something like that. They're down 14 points. They elect to go for it. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? Yeah, because if you don't make it, the game's over right now. You're going to go down 17 points at least. The game, set, match. And they hit it. And then they go down and they score a touchdown. And I'm like, this dude, Brandon Staley, I was like, I was going to rip this guy to no end that you had as good a football team as him. And you blew it yourself as a coach. And now I got to sit back and say, was it stupid or was it the most brilliant move of all time? I got to sit back and say it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. And he goes down. He totally believes in him. He knows Cleveland can't stop him. You know, I've been on this thing coordinator forever.
Yeah.
That, you know what? You know what's keeping you from being a Super Bowl team? Yeah, your quarterback's not a franchise guy, a legit franchise quarterback. I get that. But he should be good enough. But that defense ain't good enough. And they got the players. I don't know what the hell they do defensively. And they couldn't slow down the Chargers. The coach for the Chargers, Staley, he knew it. Said, to hell with it, we're going for it. From that point on, the game turned. Momentum shifted 100%, and it was because of the guts that coach had. And it was just a hell of a football game, but I got to give him credit, man. That to me is where it was. And look, the Chargers couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop him from running the football.
Right.
But in true coach, you know, true brilliant fashion, hey, we're going to throw the ball second and 10. Okay, incomplete. Third and 10. I'm sitting there. I'm watching the game. I'm talking with Teddy Bruschi, Randy Moss. They go, they're going to run the ball here. Oh, my God. I was like, I'm kidding. They ran the ball, got like 5 yards, and they're going to punt on fourth down. I'm like, what the hell was that? That showed me right there they don't believe in Baker Mayfield.
Exactly.
So two times they had a chance to put it in Baker Mayfield's hand, which you would do if you had a legitimate franchise quarterback, and they chose not to.
Game, set, match, man. Listen, I tell you what, Myles Garrett, you talk about Slater, man. Slater, people got to start talking about him as, like, rookie of the year, too. Can you – like, when is the last time a left tackle made rookie offensive player – offensive rookie of the year? So, I mean, I think he's making a case. I mean, you think about who he's shutting down. Shut down Bosa. Shuts down Garrett, man. I think this guy is underrated. Shut down Chase Young, like, this guy has been the difference, right? Because last year, you know, Herbert was running for his life. He was making big plays, but he's taking a beating. And, like, now they protect him. Now they're able to, you know, protect him. And I don't understand about this Cleveland defense either. But once again, that's a bad loss for them in a game that they should have won, a game that they had in control, but they can't close. I don't understand how can you have a guy like Odell Beckham and he only gets three targets. Three targets is what he gets.
I don't either. And the guy's way too talented of a player, you know, to not have more targets than that. But with that being said, they still had about 550 yards of offense. So, I mean, it is crazy. Look, you know, Slater's doing an amazing job as a tackle. Ja'Marr Chase will be the answer to that question, though, who will win the offensive rookie of the year. However, I want to say this because, you know me, I know football. There was a guy named John Hicks one time that was an offensive lineman for the – I think he was a guard for the Giants. I remember he won Rookie of the Year, and maybe Orlando Pace. That's probably the only thing I can remember. But that's just to answer your trivia question. And but either way, man, it was something. But, Bart, I mean, as great a game as that was, I mean, amazing game. Wasn't it, like, crazy? That's – fan of football, man. Like, that's why we love this game so much. It's definitely the modern day, man.
This is the modern day exciting game. You know what I mean? Because it's like, this is what the league wants. The league wants to see points. They want to see the ball flying up through the air. You know, and listen, it wasn't just through, you know, it was like the tale of two different teams. One team is ground and pound, but their running game is their explosive offense. It was great to watch, man. But I tell you, once again, a rough day for New York sports, man. No Yankees in the postseason. You talk about, you know, listen, I got up. I had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go into the studio to watch this crap, man. Like, we talk about Zach Wilson, but I think we got to start talking about LaFleur and his inability to scheme up easy plays. I'm watching Matty Ice, and he's the veteran, a former MVP in his league, and he's the one with simple game plan. I mean, this dude's throwing the ball. They had six snaps, Rex. Six snaps in the first quarter. How the hell you go? Like, if I'm a defensive player, man, I'm saying, listen, I need a third of your check, man, because I'm sitting up here on the field all the time because you guys are three and out, and it's the 31 snaps in the first quarter for the defense? It's ridiculous. And it's because this guy can't coordinate himself out of a box, a paper bag, man. He's deep. You talk about this team is supposed to be built on a Mike Shanahan system. They ran the ball 17 times this entire game. And I listen, you let they listen. Once again, the football guys gave him a gift. No Ridley, no Gage. All they did was let Kyle Pitts go 9 for 119.
But how the hell does that happen, Bart? Like, if they have no receivers out there, which they don't have, name them. Like, hell, I can't. I don't know who the hell those guys were, but they're – I mean, come on. They had one target, Kyle Pitts. So you know what we're going to do.
Pitts and Patterson.
Yeah, but they're not going to get anything. You know, and that guy used to be a returner. That was about it. But that Pitts would not have touched the ball against us. We would have doubled them, had to triple them, whatever we had to do. And he goes 9 for 119 in a TD. Like, I'm like, if you're a damn defensive guru, act like it. Take away their best damn player. But you're right. The Jets looked awful.
Yeah, Zach Wilson.
You know what?
He's not accurate. Like, anybody can make these big splashy plays. Greatness is doing the routine things, doing the little things routinely. And he struggles with accuracy. Like, yeah, he gets the ball. That's the easiest thing to hit. He's missing guys on screen pass. He had a lineman in the back that was bent over on a screen
pass. Well, that was the worst, man. I saw
mean,
it.
Skip the pass on the swing. Listen, I don't even think they're worth wasting our breath. I mean, you can go to the other New York team. Yeah, I mean, it was like an episode of MASH, man. I mean, Saquon Barkley, Danny Dimes out there stumbling and bubbling, looking like Wilder, man. Looked like he got hit by Fury when he tried to lower his head. But listen, I can't fault him because the kid is trying to compete. He's playing at a high level. I just don't know how long he's going to be out. Looks like Saquon has the worst injury, but Kadarius Toney is a player. They got to find a way how to get him the ball more often. I like him in the backfield. I like him using them like Percy Harvin. They got to do a better job with getting him the ball. They may have stumbled into like their playmaker, their number one. It shouldn't be Galladay, who always, you know.
That dude's been hurt all the time. He's made of glass. He came here. He showed up. He got paid. And he hadn't done anything. He had a one decent game, and that's it. So Galladay is, you know, supposed to be a big-time X receiver, red zone threat. He hadn't done anything for this football team. So, but
we got to give some credit to the other team, though. We got to give some credit to the other team.
Yeah, I'll definitely give credit to the other team. But Tony, that dude right there, you hit it on the head. Percy Harvin's who reminded me of. And that's what I mean. Like, the Giants have hit on some guys. Saquon Barkley's legit, but now he's hurt. Daniel Jones, legit. But it's like, golly, why can't they get it done? And their defense is supposed to carry this football team.
Yeah,
they got smacked in the face.
Bradbury is not the defense. He's not the player he was last year. I mean, he struggled.
It's almost like they read their clips, and so, you know, a coach trying to focus on getting a head coaching job. How about keeping your own dang job?
Yeah,
man. I mean, this team has to play a lot better, man. And that was a disappointment because I thought they had a legitimate shot. You know, albeit you had two receivers out, but this is a mash.
I picked them. It was great if they would have kept those three guys out there. But I tell you what, you talk about, you know, coaching prospects. Kellen Moore, if he continues to coach and continues his offense, he's going to be first on a lot of guys' list. And I know it's crazy, and it's just what it is. Like, guys become the hot guys. And listen, he probably skipped right over Eric Bieniemy, you know, because right now he's the hottest name. He had his offense for 2 years have performed at a high level, and this is what people want to see. They want to see these innovative offenses that's able to light it up. Now that he has tremendous personnel, but we haven't seen the Dallas Cowboys look like this since their heydays.
Do you really think I think he's going to be a head coach next year?
Yeah, me too.
I really do. However, I think it might be in Dallas. Like, you really you think Jerry Jones is going to let this man walk?
Yeah, that's how Jason Garrett got his, right?
I'm telling you, it's not the first time it's happened. We've seen Jerry do some crazy things, like letting Jimmy Johnson go to bring in Barry Switzer. Like, I don't think for a second he ain't going to pull the trigger. He ain't going to lose, you know, Boy Wonder there. I mean, that kid's done a hell of a job. I just think you watch, Bart. I think before it's all said and done, I would not be shocked if he's the head coach of Dallas Cowboys.
I tell you what, man, you talk about a good story, man. And it's a rough week for the Raiders. I mean, some remarks that John Gruden had about D'Amore Smith came out, you know, and I don't really want to dive into it too deep, but, you know, just a rough week, you know, John Gruden becoming a distraction. But you know, hats off to Justin Fields and Matt Nagy, who finally got it right, who allowed this kid to come out and figure out a game plan to allow them to play at a high level. How impressed were you with Justin Fields making his second start and seeming like the game is slowing down just a bit to him. As you know, we always ready to sing the praises of the Raiders, but you talk about the Bears leaning on that defense, leaning on their young quarterback, and getting a much needed win.
Yeah, they're finally. You know what? What's the strength of our football team? Our defense. So play to it. Run the football. I mean, we've seen this look. We've seen this blueprint, and it works. Justin Fields doesn't have to play out of his mind. In fact, that's a way he would have lost this game. You know, and made big mistakes. Well, he didn't do that. So they move forward to get the win. But that defense was phenomenal. But I will say this. The Raiders were not focused. That was a team that clearly these things affected that football team. And how could they not? If you're in a locker room,
yeah, because there's a lot of your head coach
makes a racist statement,
yeah,
makes a racist comment, and you don't think that's going to affect the locker room?
That's 70% African American, probably, right? So you talk
about, and it doesn't matter,
African American, looking like, man, like, what do you feel about us? What do you say about me?
Yeah, and you know what? And don't think for a second it doesn't affect the white player too.
Yeah,
that this guy's like, because that's ridiculous. Like, the beauty, the greatest thing that there is in coaching is the locker room and how it unites as a brotherhood, man.
It's sacred.
You look at the closest you and I have, all of us.
Polynesians. Like,
I mean, it don't matter.
Nakamura, Asian.
We've
embraced all of them to the brotherhood.
And it is the brotherhood and coaches, players, and all that. And those are things you'll never forget that. But this guy broke about as bad as you can do when you make a racist comment. There's no justification of it.
And that's the thing, man. When you put something on paper, I mean, to send an email, I mean, this is, I don't know, like, how the league doesn't take a look at it. I know he wasn't an employee, but if this isn't conduct detrimental, I don't know what is. And it could be a distraction. It could be something that breaks this team up as a unit.
It looked,
I don't
like
know if he can earn the trust.
Yeah, it looked like more than a distraction to that football team to me.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. But congratulations, Justin Fields. He's going to have a lot to address. I think he addressed it in his press conference. He's going to have to continue to address it. You know, at some point, you know, the league is going to have to step in and going to have to, you know, understand that we can't have these type of things within our league. You know, so, I mean, it's going to be a tough week for the Raiders as, you know, they continue to have to deal with this on the other side as they're losing games at the same time. You know, but once again, like, little pocket Hercules, or what do you call him? I don't know if I want to call him Mandalorian. Like, you know, like, I know he's the Mandalorian, he reminds me of, like, Mighty Mouse, right? He reminds me of Mighty Mouse. They remain unbeaten, but listen, this was a tougher game than we thought, right? You know, they're still undefeated. Is this Cardinals team potentially like the new Pittsburgh Steelers? Because, like, last year the Steelers was 11-0, and they were the last unbeaten. But they had a lot of flaws. Is this a team that maybe needs a good loss? Because sometimes when you lose, it forces you to address all the things that you've been getting away with. And as you get players' attention, you know, they're feeling good about themselves and they're floating high. You know, I just wonder if one time if maybe losing a game might help them out.
Yeah, you never know, Bart. I mean, the thing is, you know, when we've been on good teams, you win ugly. You win some ugly games.
Yeah.
Like, and that's it. This was an ugly game. You outplayed that team. It almost felt like it was never in doubt until the end. Then it really was in doubt, but you're able to hang on and lean on that defense, and that's how they got the job done. But you know, look, they've had some big wins. Sometimes you come back crashing down the earth. The focus isn't, you know, where it probably needs to be. And this might be a win. Like, the great thing is, from a coaching standpoint, I used to love games like this that you'd win, because my gosh, can you get your players' attention? You can rip them up, down, one, chew them out, do whatever you need to do to get the most out of them. And the great thing is, and you won the game. If you would have lost this game, now you can't coach them as hard. You know what I mean? That's just a simple way it is. But when you win, oh my God, can you coach them hard this week? And I expect the Cardinals to do that.
Crazy, man. So, like, you talk about six rookie quarterbacks started this weekend. Only Mac and Cheese and Justin Fields got the win. Jones, you think about it, you know, his two wins have come against other rookie quarterbacks.
Right.
Like, he's good enough to beat guys that are in the same situation as him. Like we mentioned earlier, I just don't see the Patriots as a playoff team. And they're going to have a lot of soul searching. I think I think they're going to have to do a lot and put a lot around Mac and Cheese to build around him in the future. But I think 2 years in a row, we're going to see the New England Patriots, which was something that would be, you know, thought of as an idiotic statement for them not to make the playoffs 2 years in 2 years in a row. But looking ahead, you know, let's talk about coming up about the Colts and Ravens, that they're going to close it out. You know, also we'll look ahead to the beginning of next week. But how do you see the Ravens? And you know, I always talk about Carson Wentz. You got to be a special guy. So a couple guys I know that hurt two things at the same time. Gary Baxter, who, by the way, I have no idea how the hell you tear both your ACLs on one play. Yep. And Carson Wentz, like misery. How do you sprain both your ankles?
Yeah, I don't know, but how the hell do you play the next week? Like, so the kid's got toughness. We know that, but he better have. He's going against that Raven, the Ravens Monday night. Oh, that's ugly. That defense is getting healthy.
Yeah, Everett has stepped up, right? You know, everybody was concerned with Marcus Peters, but Everett, that's what I love about teams like the Raiders. I mean, about the Ravens, the Steelers, they always have a great farm system of guys that maybe in one role, but they can have a more extended role, but, you know, they just can't get it, you know, crack the system there. You know, Everett, you know, has come in, he's done his thing, and he stepped up and he's filled those shoes. And going forward, the team will have a lot more depth going forward. You know, it's a big game for the Colts. That division is very vulnerable. You know, like, you know, Tennessee's flawed. I mean, Houston is rebuilding, and Jacksonville, man, what a mess, right?
Yeah, I'm excited to watch that game. About the other side of the ball, though, like Lamar Jackson, does he continue to improve as a passer? Like, how are the Colts going to defend them? Yeah. You can't play your cover two defense you love to play, or they will dehydrate the running backs and Lamar Jackson. So you can't play the Ravens that way. But I'm going to be looking forward to watching this game to see how Matt Eberflus, the D coordinator with the Colts, tries to defend Lamar.
Yeah, let's just look ahead at, like we always do, to week six. We start off on a short week. I don't know how many primetime games the Bucs got, man. So once again, they get a Thursday game, you know, so they get another mini bye if they're able to take care of business against the Eagles. We got Seattle with no Russell Wilson, man. They're in trouble. And listen, I don't know if Russell – this might have saved them, because I think they were going to lose and be fourth in the division anyway. But now, because Russell's hurt, they'll have a built-in excuse like, oh, Russell was hurt for 6 weeks. Because we know that Russell was disgruntled. He was one of these quarterbacks in the offseason that had his list. I want to go to Dallas. I want to go to the Raiders. I want to go to Chicago. Now he may want to force his way out, but because he's injured, he may not push himself out because they'll lie to themselves. That defense, you talk about horrible defenses, they may be the worst defense in all the league. And then, again, Monday Night Football next week, Bills, Titans, we'll see what happens on the Monday night game, on the Sunday night game with the Bills in Kansas City. But you talk about being able to have another primetime game. We'll see what this Buffalo Bills team is all about.
Yeah, and you know what? I look at that Thursday game. You know, we did see when Brady left, he had his hand in an ice bucket. Like, and we know Tom Brady's tough as nails, but that's not the normal way you leave a stadium. All right. So we'll see how that works out. Geno Smith finally gets his shot. You know, look, Geno has ability. Yeah. All he lacked was maturity. He's had several years as a backup quarterback. Is he ready for the big stage? We're going to find out against Pittsburgh. Yeah, and then the Bills Titans, man, look, the Titans, you know, the Bills, they had to fix that run defense.
Yeah.
Have they done it? We're going to find out Monday night for sure against King Henry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As always, I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. This is Organized Chaos Podcast. Rex and I will always be dropping a new podcast each and every weekend from now until the Super Bowl. You can catch me weekdays from 12 to 3 on Bart and Hyde. And of course, you can catch me on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You can catch Rex every Sunday on Countdown and Monday morning on Get Up. Thanks as always for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcast.
Hockey has returned to ESPN. The NHL is starting back up, and that means you can stream your team's games on ESPN Plus. From the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning to the brand new Seattle Kraken. Subscribe to ESPN Plus so you don't miss a goal. Also, be sure to follow In the Crease, the ESPN NHL podcast with Linda Cohn and Emily Kaplan.